So the student says, well, I want to do what you've done.
I would say that they really need to try to hear from the Lord and sense what he's saying to them, because it's going to be different for all of us. I don't have a recipe for everybody other than, you know, just try to find. And that's what I tell my grandkids. I don't tell them that I want them to go to college. I don't tell them I don't want them to go to college. I say, you find out what you feel like God would have you to do, and you follow what God's will is for your life.
At the beginning of this, you said you felt like the black sheep of your family. Your brothers and sisters were involved in a ministry which would perhaps put them in the public eye and on stage behind a pulpit. But now here you became involved in ministry without having to be that kind of person.
I don't think my mother and father, as being ministers, understood that we all have a calling on our lives, every single one of us. I don't think they understood that. And I don't blame them for that. I think a lot of pastors and churches today don't understand it. Oral Roberts understood it early on. He says, go out into your world and bring light into not the world, but your world. If you're a nurse, if you're a businessman or whatever, he understood that way back in the very beginning. And I didn't understand it. So I felt like God passed me up. I'm not called to preach like my brothers and sisters, pastor's wife or whatever. And so I really felt like I was a black sheep. And it took me some time after God had talked to me about doing something, and then I saw it all come together. I said, you know, I think he can use a businessman as well, but I also think he can use every one of us no matter where we are. He has a purpose, and if in our purpose we don't affect the world somehow or another, somewhere directly or indirectly, then 500 years from now, what was the purpose? So if we don't affect someone for eternity, I don't know that we have a purpose. I can't imagine a purpose without eternity. So that's kind of the way I see things, and I feel like God put every single one of us someplace, somehow, if we're obedient, that we can make a difference in someone's life, here again, directly or indirectly. So I know that I'm where God wants me, and I feel like that as a pastor is anointed to do what he does. Many times I tell Barbara, you know, I feel like I'm anointed. God's anointing me to go to work with ideas, and I feel and sense the Holy Spirit in my life to direct me on a day-to-day basis. Why would he anoint a pastor and not anoint a businessman or a farmer or a doctor or anybody else? I think we all can be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I sense it, so it's exciting to come to work and know that we can grow this company and do more than we've ever thought was possible.
The student who is a business student, and he says, I want to be on this Forbes list. That's the wrong way to look at it. You didn't start out that way, wanting to be there at all. It was kind of a day-to-day, week-to-week business, and you had no idea how far this thing was going to go. Yeah. And here you are, 68, and you have a good, say, 20 years left to live, to build and all, and you don't know what the end of the story is going to be yet.
No.
And somebody would say, man, that was good, but look what else you have left to do.
Right. Well, we're bringing in Gen 3 into the business now. My grandson is responsible. His job is missions coordinator. So all the missions that we're involved with, he coordinates them. Last weekend, he was working with Every Home for Christ. They had this celebration in Colorado. There's a lot to be done with what we're doing. It's a full-time job. Well, I'm supposed to be a retailer. And so we've got Gen 2 and Gen 3 working.
How old are they now?
My Gen 3, the one that I'm talking about, is 22, I believe, or 23, and he just graduated from college, and so he's excited. He told me early on, he said, hey, Grandpa, I'm not going to do like you. I'm going to be more directly involved in ministry rather than your involvement's indirectly. And I said, whatever God has for you is okay with me. And then he wanted to come on and help us with all the various ministries we're involved with, and connect with all the leaders of these ministries, learn more about them, things of that nature. So it's a full-time job for him. And then he has about 300 requests a month for finance that we want to answer, because we have about 300 a month that comes by. So he's in charge of that as well.
So that's the next generation. The grandchildren will get involved more than likely in one way or another.
Right.
And so the ripples from this pebble, which you are, keep going
out. We're trying to make sure that this doesn't become a Yale or a Harvard, that this thing stays. We're working on documents. We've got a lot of them that would make sure that this thing is the tree and no one can touch the tree. They can have the fruit, but they can't have the tree. You can't sell this business and sit on a yacht. This belongs to God. That's the way that it is. If it's sold, then it has to all go to God. But if it stays like it is in the family, whatever fruit you've earned, you can have the fruit you've earned. But that's all that I get. That's all that anybody else gets. I will never get more than the monthly salary I get. We don't have jets. We could buy a dozen of them tomorrow if we wanted them. We don't have yachts. We don't have second homes, because this is not ours. We live well, but this is not ours. This belongs to God. Everybody knows it. Gen 2 knows it. Gen 3 knows it. We're here to serve people, our employees, and we're here to tell as many people about Christ as we possibly can. That's our goal, and that's why we're here.
That's great. You refer to them as Gen 2 and Gen 3. What does that mean?
Well, I'm Generation 1, starting this business, and Gen 2 is my children, and Gen 3 is my grandchildren. I have 10 grandchildren, and I've got 2 Gen 4s on the way. That'll happen within the next 6 months.
When you say goodnight to God, you are full of thankfulness.
Yeah.
So you must say, God is still blessing us. He must want us to keep sowing it somewhere.
Well, yeah, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ, how would you like a pastor that had 500 members and he's comfortable and there's a world that's lost, doesn't know Christ? I still believe there's a heaven and a hell, and I still believe you must be born again. And I still believe the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's this basic foundation of what I believe. And so he's comfortable. Why can I just sit here and get comfortable when there's people that need to know Christ, when I can do something about it?